Good oil for Penrite today. Penrite Oil, Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penriteoil.com. It's Fun Thursday. Crash Craddock's going to join us in a moment, which is absolutely outstanding because I'm jealous when I hear him with Jared Waitley every week. It's fantastic listening. We put it out the call. Tim, yes. Dramana Toppings,
that's
does
what
that
it
ring
is.
A bell?
That's what it is.
Dramana, I said it was down to the stars.
I said it was down Mornington Peninsula way. It's Dramana Gravel or Dramana Topping. So that's what you need to look up. And
look at the look how many people have texted in.
Exactly,
this.
A lot of people know about
look
this.
Look at it. That is unbelievable.
And that's good stuff. That actually compacts really well. So that'd be good for
how
your drive.
How much would it cost me for you to get out and do one?
Well, it depends on how many mentions you give them on the air this
no,
morning.
No, you to come and do the driveway.
Yeah, and I'm not going to mention my top 10 gardens.
Why?
Because I'm thinking of putting out a coffee table book.
And you sent people down the South Hardy Melbourne Grand market this morning because you said it's going to be flat out. You should shoot a gun down the aisle. There's no one in there.
Hardy Grant rang me during the break. They want to do a deal with me.
Right, Crash Craddock is, I think, in the top handful of journalists in this country.
Oh, he's certainly in my top five.
Five?
Yeah, my top five.
Three for mine. And then he's with Jared Waitley most weeks. Jared's on a sabbatical, so we've jumped in and grabbed a hold of him. He's been good enough to join us. Welcome, Crash.
Good to talk to you, Gary. And Tim, I'm up here in AFL Heartland now in Brisbane. What about that?
Hey, yeah, that's
you could have said that a month ago.
Well, you can tonight. It's the epicentre of AFL footy with a sold-out Gabba. Is it getting much traction up there?
Look, it really is, Gary. I mean, particularly since the rugby league teams are really struggling. Like, it's incredible inversion of events. But I've just come back from a coffee shop and ran into Simon Black down there, the
royalty,
of course, the decorated triple premiership winner. And he, we're both saying how the vibe is just, you know, they're throwing a net over the floating fan. There's about 10,000 fans in Brisbane who will go to whatever's hot. And right now they're very interested in the Lions. But Simon's a very modest person. You know, a little story from the coffee shop. We had a Japanese waitress there who worked for about 3 years. And the last day she said to me, do you know Simon who comes in? You know, he's a famous AFL player. I've just heard that. He's such a bashful guy that just unassuming Blackie, you know, achieved everything. And you know, he's just still one of life's true treasures, I reckon.
Disappointingly so, from our point of view. We like to bang that from the rooftops. Hey, 26,000 members they were sprouting yesterday, which is a fantastic result. Crash, is it as simple as this? Is the fact that they're winning again gets that floating 10,000, or are they doing a much better job of selling themselves in the market with, you know, Fagan and then Lachie Neale and Luke Hodge and those sorts?
Winning's everything. I've got to say, they've always sold themselves pretty well. In fact, we reckon they've sold hope almost too well during the off-season. Like, this will be the Lions' season. Honestly, they're really going well. We've heard that for about 3 or 4 years. Mm. But this season, they've delivered. And I think people have really... Chris Fagan's won people over. And, Tim, he's the same age as you and I. He's a boy of 1961. Mm. I'm not sure how you're feeling, but I couldn't coach an AFL team. I wouldn't have the petrol, you know. And he started late.
I'm with you, Crash. I'm with you, Crash. I couldn't coach an AFL team either.
I knew, as I was getting into that, I thought, oh, this is getting ugly. But I admire his energy, and he's come across as a nice, happy face. And indeed, the school teacher that the team sort of needed, just to be patient with young kids and understand their mindsets and all that. So he's won a lot of people over just through being the guy that he is. But it is about winning. They had to throw. Do you know what? They don't have to win a premiership. They don't have to make the top four. But about August, they've still got to be in contention for the top eight. That's a pass mark in Brisbane to keep people interested for the winter.
No, it's going beautifully up there at the moment, and with the Suns as well. I mean, it looks like a really healthy state AFL football's in up there at the moment. Can we move now on to Israel Folau, okay? Yesterday, he's requested a code of conduct hearing to challenge Rugby Australia's move to terminate his contract, the Wallabies Stars $4 million contract. Okay, I haven't heard you talk about this, so I don't know exactly where you stand on this, but I'm reading a lot of other bits and pieces around this and the potential for this to go from where it will be, which is the conduct hearing, to into the courts. Is that what you're expecting is going to happen here, Crash?
It's likely, yeah. I mean, the most likely final point of it is that Israel Folau will be probably finished with Australian rugby. I mean, his last chance to learn was Michael Checker. But when the coach says, I don't want you, it's very hard to fit him into a team And, of course, he has taken a stance. He's quoted the Bible saying that, you know, gay people will go to hell. And in the Australian team, you've got a guy like David Pocock who delayed his own wedding to Emma until same-sex marriage was legalised in Australia. Mm. So if same-sex marriage had not been legalised in Australia, David Pocock would not have been married. That's how strongly he felt about it. So you can only imagine what he's thinking. So, Tim, when they go into this inquiry, the ARU will argue very strongly a straight breach of contract. We preach inclusion. It's in the contract. You were warned. You agreed you would not set alight this issue again with any contrary conduct which denigrates gay people. You agreed on that and you breached it. He will argue it's all about free speech. I was quoting the Bible. I'm allowed to do that. And he may even say something like, oh, one of the tribunal hearings about 5 years ago when you tried to sack Kirtley Beale for having a pornographic image, he was not sacked. So you're not sacking him for that. You're sacking me for essentially quoting the Bible. Is that what you're saying? It's a very, very, very complex issue. But to me, the bottom line is Folau's position in Australian rugby is now untenable.
It sounds like he's had a change of heart because he said this last April in the Player's Voice that after the first indiscretion, and he sat down with Raylene Castle and she spoke about that. He said that it hurt rugby, it hurt the sponsors, and it hurt the rugby community to such a degree that things couldn't be worked out. If they couldn't be worked out again, I would have walked away from my contract immediately. He appears to have gone back on what he said in April.
Yeah, it's a terrific point you make, and he has. That will be used in evidence in the tribunal of the commitment he gave. Some people are saying, Tim, why didn't you put social media clauses in his contract? But they're saying under the terms agreement with the Players Association, they can't put additional clause in, and it was covered anyway. They feel they've got him anyway. Tim, I must say, the extraordinary side of this development is over the years we've seen people who have got volcanic opinions that stir up things like, say, Jason Ackermanis or Sam Newman. Israel Folau has not said a peep of any controversy, about anyone in three different codes. In rugby league, he was a church mice. It was the same in AFL, like he just did his best at now in rugby union, except these two occasions when he's blown up the entire building. Like, he's a behavioural clean skin except for this. And that does complicate it a little bit. It really does.
That might be part of his defence, Crash. Do you think it mitigates it in any way?
It's sort of like a good character reference, and it does paint the fact that, hey, look, I'm a clean living guy, I'm a deeply religious guy, and I'm standing by what I believe. And that's part of the argument, Gary. I get that. But when you sign a contract, when you give a commitment, I mean, that's a bigger commitment because you're putting your name on a sheet of paper that says that I agree to my company's values and I will follow them. And so he's given that commitment. It's a very, very complex situation. I know that it's heartbreaking for Australian rugby because here's the thing, okay? Here's the next step. If they agree he has to go and he has no future, there then becomes the issue, has he broken his contract or do they have to pay him out? Mm. A few months ago, there was talk they were going to get rid of the coach, Michael Checker, but they couldn't even afford to pay him out $1.2 million. Folau's contract's $4 million. So if he wins a major contract settlement, I'm telling you, it puts Australian Rugby League into a parlous financial position because they are, of all the codes, they are the ones with least coins in the coffers, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and the big coin coming from Qantas, which also is inadvertently rolled up and tied up in all this as well with some of the commercial realities. The AFL have been drawn into this in a rather obscure way. Gary Ablett and Matthew Kennedy, you may not know much about Matthew, but he's a young man that was started at the Giants and is now at Carlton. They both liked the post of Israel Folau via Instagram. Where do we sit on that then? What attitude should the AFL? Mark Robinson tells us in the Herald Sun today that they won't be taking any further action on the two players because they've removed the likes of their post. They went on to say the AFL's position is clear that we stand for equality and inclusion in our game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you know what? I guess I'm a little bit sympathetic of Gary Ablett Jr. only because I didn't mind the way he managed, if we could use that word, his religious beliefs. And he said, look, I'm deeply committed to God. I'm really religious. But he never sort of, there was never anything offensive about the way he's conducted himself. He wouldn't have, I'm sure, wouldn't have, even though he liked Flowers' post, he was nowhere near as overt about his inner beliefs as what Flowers' been. So I get that. But look, it's complex across the codes. Here's an example, okay? Peter Beattie, the NRL chairman, said Israel Folau will not be welcome under any circumstances back into our sport because we're all about inclusiveness. And that's fine, but I'm up here in Brisbane. We're up the road. Matt Lodge gets a game for the Broncos after one of the most distasteful home invasions you've ever seen in New York a few years ago, where he said to someone, made life-threatening statements against people. Like, that gets redemption, but someone quoting from the Bible doesn't. So it's a very, very complex issue. And unfortunately, Folau's position, and I repeat it, I just can't see how he could possibly rejoin Australian rugby. The wounds are so deep.
There's so many tentacles to this story, and this is in The Age this morning. It's an analysis that's written by Anthony Wheely, who's a former New South Wales Supreme Court judge, and he talks about the hypocrisy there within Rugby Australia too. They're talking about Qantas and the fact that Qantas may withdraw their sponsorship. And he makes the point that currently Qantas, some of their commercial interests are closely allied with partners from countries which overtly criminalise and punish gay people. So it's got the potential, if it did end up in the courts, I mean, this could go in a variety of directions.
It's a terrific observation. And I quite frankly, I do agree with him. I believe that Rugby Australia will not use Qantas and their commercial interests as a reason for sacking Folau. They will say it's a straight breach of contract, because as soon as you bring Qantas into it, it takes it down that road. But I know one thing that they really feel is that the depth of concern over young gay people now and their sexuality, and Australia is coming to peace with this issue ever so slowly. And then you get a comment like this that really rocks the boat. Tim, it was funny the other night. I heard the Folau issue on the radio, the news bulletin. The next song they played was Bohemian Rhapsody, which essentially a lot of people believe was Freddie Mercury talking about his tortured confession when he revealed his own homosexuality. You think of the words, Mama, I've killed a man, I put a gun against my head, my body's shaking all the time, it's time to face the truth. And it didn't change for decades. A lot of young children face these problems, and that's what they're concerned about for Folau's taunt, that it really, at a time when youth suicide is such a big issue, it can cause such damage.
Crash, it's been an absolute joy talking to you. We jealously listen in with you and Jared every single week, and it's great listening, and it was just great to get you on this morning to have a talk about a very complex situation.
Well, it is, and I must say, Tim, it's nice to come on. I asked a favour of you about a year ago when I had a friend whose wife was suffering from cancer, and there you go. You responded in about a heartbeat, sent off a letter. It was really well received. So in our household, you're very much a pin-up boy, mate. So thanks again for doing that. It's much appreciated. All the best, Tim and Gary. Thanks a lot.